The individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. Our phone number, if you want to call in for a question or a thought for our guests, are 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. Today's a Friday, so we sort of wrap up the week, see what we're doing over the weekend, and it's snowing out. Therefore, second year in a row, a repeat offender, we're going to call him, Jeremiah Cotter. He is the street supervisor of the city of Fairbanks. How you doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad today.
It's snowing out. What are you doing?
Well, right now, today, I have some sanders out on the road. They're sanding, trying to put some grip down for everybody. I know it's a little slick with a little bit of snow. Not really too much snow to plow today, so we're just sanding.
You know, you've done some plowing, you've done some sanding, you're already addressing it. And yesterday was that day where you get snow, 22 above weather, on top of ice, and it's slick out, and everyone's sliding, and lots of car crashes.
Oh, yes. Yep, it was. There was lots. That's why we had to get our sanders out today on one of our holiday weekends. We had people come in today to do some sanding so that people would hopefully stop sliding around as much.
Yeah. You know, the public works is very reactionary. You know, you're always looking at the weather. You're always geared up. Okay, here it comes. Be ready to go. And bam. You know, you knew this day was coming. And you spent the whole summer recovering equipment from last year.
Oh, yes, been repairing equipment all summer long for sure, because last year was definitely brutal on our equipment. Yeah, we did what we could last year to try to rip up the ice, you know, to make it smooth for everybody, including ourselves. Everybody needs to remember that we drive on these roads, too, and we definitely don't like bouncing down them.
You know, it was interesting talking with the head of Public Works, Jeff Jacobson, in the budget, and he said that one of the critical elements was your grader blades. Mm-hmm. You'd go through so many grader blades trying to get off the ice that you're out of grader blades.
Yeah, at one point we were flipping them around and trying to use the other sides of them that weren't as worn as the, you know, side that we used to really try to rip with. So
to south.
We're doing everything we could, you know, and just going through it. And yeah, it felt like the country was out of, you know, edges that could rip ice at one point. And even the state, they were doing the same thing, you know. We called them to see if we could borrow some. They were like, no, we're almost out.
So what's your thoughts or things you want to tell people for, you know, don't push your snow from your driveway out into the street?
Yeah, we have, I mean, that's one of the big ones. Pushing the driveway snow out into the street, like last year, I mean, we had so much. I realized that, you know, some people were just trying to, you know, get out of their driveway, but they created piles, which end up costing the taxpayers, you know, twice as much money for me to remove those than if they were in berms that we can pick up with our graders.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention the extra snow. So now we're picking up, sometimes it feels like, you know, half the neighborhood's driveways at the same time. You know, it takes us more time, and everybody wants us to go faster.
If you have a sidewalk in front of your house, yeah, push it from the sidewalk into the street. If you have a business, you have to maintain the sidewalk, push it into the street.
Yeah. And then you got to remember too that, you know, when you're cleaning off that sidewalk in front of your business, pushing it down into a berm that crosses the sidewalk, and, you know, prohibits people from walking, you know, crossing down the sidewalk and having to go around a berm, you know, you're putting them out into the street.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing that even recently I've had my sidewalk machines out plowing the sidewalks and cleaning them up so people can, you know, walk down them without walking in, you know, 3-4 inches of snow. And they come up to these berms across and send me pictures like, what do I do here? I'm like, well, you got to move it out of the sidewalk.
So yeah.
Some help, you know, keeping that snow from blocking the sidewalk would really be appreciated.
So you're the street supervisor. I mean, you're coming into your Super Bowl, your playoff season, buddy. I mean, it's your season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're coming into the season for sure. This year I have 5 new grader operators, or 5 new, you know, operators for the city. Mm-hmm. I got 3 that are, you know, returning pros, and I got 5 new ones that are, you know, good
learning
prospects.
It real fast. Yeah. Yeah.
And you did see us out on the roads, plowing the roads. I got to get some training time with these new operators so they understand how we do things at the city and why.
And you get them out of 302. These are operators. These are hands.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're good operators.
Yeah.
It's just understanding how we do things at the city.
In the streets.
Yeah.
You know, they might be, you know, used to going out and constructing a street. Now it's removing the snow from the street and not taking out the mailboxes.
Exactly. And like, well, you mentioned it, knowing the streets. I know when I started with the city, I'd be told the street around town like Calicacket, and I lived here all my life, and I was like, and where is that? You know, so yeah, learning the streets, learning what neighborhoods, you know. Yeah, you know what the neighbor, where the neighborhood's at, but you definitely don't know that, well, that one's called Hamilton Acres.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa.
Or you're going into streets that, you know, only allow parking on one side over there in Island Homes because they're so narrow.
Yeah.
When they built those subdivisions versus, and they have sidewalks versus Hamilton Acres, they're wider and they don't have sidewalks.
Exactly, exactly. And that makes it challenging to plow Island Homes too. I mean, we got to pretty much put up signs and ask everybody to vacate the neighborhood while we plow it in order to do a good job and try to get what little bits of sidewalk they do have there. Believe that one's under going to be under advisement for reconstruction. Hopefully that happens favorable for us.
It, you know, there's no two subdivisions alike in Fairbanks. That's what makes us Fairbanks. You know, I grew up in Westgate, and then we put in sidewalks later on, you know, in the early 80s, right in there. Mm-hmm. And TACU, they said, no, they're not going to put in sidewalks. You know, sister communities, you know, just as a bird flies, you know, a rock throw away. Mm-hmm. One has sidewalks, one does not, and here you are, the street plowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sometimes nice not having a sidewalk, but then sometimes it's not so nice having a sidewalk, even when we're plowing it. You know, some of the neighborhoods that have sidewalks are, you know, nicer to plow. Westgate is for one, because those roads are really wide.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, even with their sidewalks, they still got miles of room.
Don't ask me how I know that. I bring that up. You know, growing up in the city was a lot of fun. And then what happens is in the spring, you're trying to find the storm drains to keep them ice-free and cleared. And so you don't get the major mud puddles, I mean the lakes.
Yeah, that's true. Finding those storm drains sometimes after people have plowed the snow out of their driveway over the tops of some of them sure make it fun, you know, to find out why there's a gigantic lake. And, of course, first thing we're doing is looking where these piles are at and looking at our maps as to where our storm drain is at. And, well, that pile's sitting on top of there. You know, putting piles on top of drains does not mean the drain is going to function.
Yeah, and also when you're plowing up snow, there's debris, and so you're putting that on a storm drain.
I mean, who knows what's in the snow? That's a lot of the times also why we don't like people plowing snow from their yards out into the road is we don't know what's in it. And when we wreck a blower sometimes, last year we put one down for the season when we hit something. So, you know, I mean, that's another reason why we don't like people.
Something like a tree going in there, you know, just, yeah.
So, a log can do some damage.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, we're ending this segment, sir. Anything else you want to add before we send you off? And
well, we did go around to all the neighborhoods and put some letters out to have people move their basketball hoops off the edge of the road. That would really help us out in our snow storage, and then when we're plowing, we don't hit them.
You know, I'm going to talk to you about one of my streets. Some people put her out there about 2 years ago, and there were tenants, and they left, and it's an abandoned one just sitting there in the street.
Oh.
And how do we get rid of something like that? How does Public Works come out and remove items like that?
We can come out and remove those items if you call up Public Works and ask, first we got to know that it's an abandoned, it's just something that somebody's left in the road. But we will come out, especially if it's right now and we're trying to get things out of our right-of-way so that we have somewhere to store our snow and something that's could cause damage. We'll come out and remove those things. You just got to call Public Works. You can ask for me, Jeremiah Cotter, and I'll get on it for you.
Really appreciate that. Jeremiah, you're going to be a repeat offender during the winter season here. Street supervisor. God, I pity you. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Mike Prox in the studio with me. We're going to start talking about election results, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Trust is a precious commodity. A septic tank, for instance, me, knows this. My family knows this. I taught them this. Now they trust Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing to pump me out. I need but one thing, and I have my limits. Winter's coming. Holidays. Company. Don't want me messing up your entertainment plans? Trust me. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing just once a year is your best choice.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with highs around 21. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18. Tonight, overcast. Highs around 27. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Chance for mixed precipitation Sunday. Chance for snow on Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. I have Mike Prox. We're going to talk about politics, and Jeremiah is going to hang out with us a little bit here, so he's liking what we're doing, and he's not going to get in political trouble. I won't allow that. I've got a mute button for you, buddy. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Mr. Prox, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you.
I, again, appreciate everything you did for me filling in during my leave of absence when I was trying to get elected. And we just came through an election. And, oh, man, I was glad when that was over with.
That is the main thing, is that it's over with, yes.
And the day after, on November 9th, I get a mailer in my mailbox from Kelly Chewbacca. I'm going, oh, it's sort of over.
Yeah.
But let's start with the U.S. Senate from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly got what, 46?
I think so. In round numbers, 46%. Yeah.
And then Lisa got about 44.5, 40, right in there.
Right.
So she's a point and a half down, but Pat Chesbrough got 8%.
Right.
Now, when they do the second round, my prediction is we're going to have retain Senator Murkowski. That's my prediction.
Yeah, there's certainly a possibility. But Well, I'm waiting.
Obviously, you didn't vote for Senator Murkowski. Yeah. What's your prediction?
On the Senate race?
Yeah.
Statistically, it's unlikely that that it'll divide. It's most likely that three-quarters of the people that voted for
Chesbro
will vote for Senator Murkowski as their second choice.
So it's going to be like a 52-48, 51-49.
Something like that.
Really close.
Yep.
You know, what got me about the race is I was just getting tired of the ads, you know.
It was horrible. It was defiling, really. Yes. It was a huge disappointment.
Then we had U.S. House.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Petola at 47.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Palin at 27 and Begich at 25.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have two things that are happening. You still have the mail-ins that come in, and then you have the ranked choice voting that's going to kick in.
Right.
Now, Governor Palin is already saying that she's won, and I'm just going to say no. I think we are retaining our special election U.S. Congresswoman Petola. That's my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong, or do you?
Oh, that again, if you were making odds, yes, you'd have to give the odds to Mary Petola. Yep. And yeah, I don't know that.
Because the first one they drop is they drop Begich.
Right.
And very fine candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But there was such a loggerhead fight in the beginning between Palin and Begich. I just don't see more than, you know, the vast majority that would be needed going to Palin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have a few that just, she's very, a lightning rod in many ways, some good, some bad.
Right.
I just don't see that crossover that she needs.
Yes. And, yeah, it is too bad that they divided. Instead of sticking to issues, they stuck at each other.
Yeah. Yes.
And that, again, that was just really disappointing. Yes.
And one of the things where, you know, this in retrospect, what I've been hearing where Begich did not do well is he came out in the beginning really harshly after Congressman Young.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people remembered that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you had his kids who never got involved in an election before,
mm-hmm.
endorsing Petola.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that I met before the special election were mad at him about the way he went after Congressman Young.
Right.
And so.
And didn't need to do that. Dick Begich had a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
I really kind of got excited about his candidacy. But he had a lot of positive to just stick to, and I think people are ready for some positive. What is it that you intend to do? Why do you think you need to be elected? And don't pick on the other person.
Now, with those two federal, look what ranked choice voting does. You know, if you would have had a primary between the Republicans, Mary, I don't think there we'd have Congresswoman Petola now.
I agree, yes.
If you did not have ranked choice voting in senatorial, you'd have Senator Chewbacca now.
Probably, yes. Yeah. Right. And that's a better choice. The ranked choice voting makes the assumption that you can have, they call it an instant runoff voting. But the calculus is different. When a decision is made, you make a brand new decision. Many people rethink their original decision, their original thought process, and now it becomes real, and you have to choose
number
one
two.
Or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to rank them.
Yes. And doing that before your first choice is known results in a different calculation.
It just
does.
Now, when Begich drops off, Sarah Palin will get my second vote.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's going to put her over the top of 51%, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
But that's how I did it, yeah.
Right, yes.
Ready for a phone call, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, I got this. I was listening to that ranked choice voting stuff, and
You know, when we got that 2 years ago, I don't think anybody really understood what they were voting for. I voted against it, but it just passed by the hairy chin.
Joe, I have not met anyone yet who said to me that they voted for ranked choice voting.
Right.
Well, what do we got to do to get it on the next ballot? I'm surprised it wasn't on this ballot.
There's two ways to address it. One, if you want to have it off the ballot in 2024, that comes from our congressional delegation.
No, state.
State legislature. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. If they don't address it, then it has to be by referendum, and it's put on the 2024 ballot, and if it's approved to remove it, then you will have a 2026 regular ballot.
Right.
But if the legislature does not address it, it's on for 2024.
Anybody's working on that, or does anybody care? Or I think it's a crappy
system. Well, here's the deal, and I brought this up, you know, some months ago. There's going to be legislators who are working on that, but there's going to be legislators who got elected by ranked choice voting and are going to be working against it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. It just seems like it's a funky system.
Oh, very, very funky. And find me that person who voted for it. Except the one that I know did was Adam Wool. Adam Wool voted for it.
Okay. Well, I don't know who voted for it, but I just surprised that we don't get rid of it. But all right, thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good, great Friday. Bye.
Bye.
And then we come into the gubernatorial race.
Mm-hmm.
And ranked choice voting was not brought in because Dunleavy's looking at, you know, 53% straight, 50% win.
Mm-hmm. And I think that will hold. We still have the absentee, or some of the absentee ballots to count, but that's most likely to hold.
Yeah. And what got me about, usually we have about a 40 to 45% voter turnout. We had a 36% voter turnout, which was statistically one of the lowest we've had. And I'm wondering if people were driven away by the negativism and the ranked choice voting.
I think so. I think a lot of people were scared of the ranked choice voting and what to do. I know when I was at the polls, there was one lady, she was just so frustrated. She was like, I don't even know how to vote now.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. You know, it is just one of those things where there's, statistically speaking, this is the lowest voter turnout we've had in a statewide election in many, many elections.
Yep.
And, you know, so you have different combinations. Different things happen when a plane crashes. There's more than this one thing.
Right.
So you had high negativism.
Yep.
A lot of ads, ranked choice voting, and Will Stapp running.
Yeah.
Who just walked into the booth here. Yeah, that's what caused the low voter turnout. Actually, Will was probably the hardest working local candidate that I saw.
Yep.
So what the heck. So Governor Dunleavy, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to go through that system.
Yep.
And what I saw him do was he never let the other two opponents do anything with him.
Right.
The way he said, you know, he was up. I'm not going to do anything to lose my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You guys flail. I'm going to be a governor. You guys go out there and be candidates. And I thought it was a great strategy.
Well, it was, and he let his performance speak for itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had that storm out in western Alaska.
Yeah.
And that was more important to him than his
being in a forum.
And that's just kind of who he is.
Yeah.
He just likes to get things done. Yep.
There you go. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to leave you with some bumper music. Aerosmith, Sweet Emotion. I approve this bumper music. I don't choose it. I rarely approve it, but I'm a big Aerosmith fan.
All
right. Going to leave you some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather, and we'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden at a United Nations climate conference in Egypt says his administration's Inflation Reduction Act is good for the planet.
Look, our Department of Energy estimates that the new law will reduce emissions in the United States by about 1 billion tons in 2030.
Egypt is the first stop on the president's eighth international trip. He'll next meet with leaders in several Asian countries. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris in Virginia this Veterans Day.
Veterans represent the best of America. Unwavering courage, unmatched talent, and unshakable devotion.
The vice president speaking at a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The families of the victims of a 2020 mid-air crash over Soldotna have reached a settlement, according to one of the family's lawyers, putting to rest a set of several lawsuits over the collision that killed then-state Representative Gary Knopp and six other people. The settlement comes more than 2 years after the Republicans' lawmaker's private plane collided with a charter plane in July of 2020, killing the four passengers, guide, and pilot aboard. Michael Schneider, a lawyer for one of the families, said the terms of the settlement reached weeks ago are confidential. He did say the parties were able to come to an agreement, and it wasn't easy. It took a lot of time. The complaints allege Knopp was negligent because he was flying without a medical certification. Knopp was denied a certification in 2012 due to vision problems. The estate of the guide who died in the crash, David Rogers, also sued the Knopp estate, and Knopp's widow filed a counter-complaint against the charter company, High Adventure Air Charters of Soldotna. A separate lawsuit between the guide and the charter plane operators was also settled out of court. The National Transportation Safety Board still has not published its final analysis.
Streaming
of the
live
crash.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. When approaching an intersection, expect other drivers to run red lights. Always look left and right before crossing an intersection on a green ball. Fairbanks is full of drivers who think red lights are mere suggestions. It's far better to avoid a driver who's running a red light and remain alive than to be legally correct and dead. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
Honey, you want to come out? I haven't seen you since Glass Doctor installed our custom shower enclosure.
No thanks.
Well, you can't keep eating breakfast in the shower. And laminating your magazines is getting expensive. You remember we have guests coming over tonight, right?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to see the shower.
It's our neighbors, and I highly doubt they want to be hanging out in our bathroom.
The shower's so good, you'll never want to leave. Visit GlassDoctor.com today and schedule an appointment online.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Sort of like the man cave in here.
Yeah.
We got Jeremiah, Michael, and we have Will Stapp, the, what did I call you this morning?
The hated one.
What no, House member elect.
Oh, yeah, representative elect. I saw that in the paper today, and yeah. I was like, oh, I think that's me, right?
I haven't read today's paper. How'd they treat you?
I kind of as a footnote. They were more interested in everybody else, which is fine with me, right?
You're so, flying under the radar.
Yeah.
But so, you ran hard early and often.
Yes, and consistently, I might add, you know.
You really did. You were boots on the ground. You're very admirable. You were very admirable. You had more signs per square foot than anyone in Fairbanks in your district. You really did. I was going, God, you know. So I was having this vision, you know, if I had that many real estate brokerage signs out, nah, forget it.
Yeah, well, you know.
What the heck?
Yeah, no, just hard work, man. Go down and talk to folks and really listen and trying to listen to your constituents and seeing what the concerns are. And, you know, just telling them who you are and what you've done in your life and your background and why you're trying to do what you're trying to do and have really cute kids and get them nice T-shirts, you know.
You have a beautiful wife, really cute kids, and I like the shirts that they all had. Vote for my daddy. Send him to Juno.
Yeah, mine said, vote for me. I have cute kids. So that's what my shirt said.
Yeah. District 31, we lost a very, very good person, Bart LeBon. interesting race.
Yeah, it's so it's not technically over, obviously, until they count the ballots and certify the election. But I think most folks understand that it's most likely over. You know, I don't want to congratulate, but pre-congratulations to Maxine Dybert for working hard and running a race. House District 31 has notoriously been an incredibly hard district to win. David, you know that, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's as purple as it gets.
Before Bart LeBond, I think you were the closest to anyone ever came in the last
20 years, 160 votes.
Yeah, last 20 years, right,
yeah.
for a Republican to win that. And, yeah, it's unfortunate. A lot of folks don't really understand the electorate and politics, so they tend to think that, you know, Bart wasn't an acceptable enough of a Republican or conservative to them. And people are certainly entitled to their opinions, you know. I think Bart overall did really great by Fairbanks. I think he represented us well on House Finance. I always, you know, I didn't agree with things that he did 100% of the time, but I don't think anyone does with anyone else. So to me, it's a big loss for our town.
Because, well, the Republicans lost it.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. I would say, you know, when the vote shakes out, you know, Maxine might even win outright. Probably not. We'll probably go to the reallocation process of the ballot, and then my expectation is many of the voters who voted, who are their first place candidate didn't win. They will probably not be ranking Representative LeBond as their second, so that's what I would anticipate, and that's incredibly unfortunate, you know, because...
Well, Kelly was saying don't rank anyone after me.
Yeah, sometimes she said that, sometimes she did not say that, so, you know, but I think, you know, the way election cycle works in media, you know, the media is going to gravitate to things that they want to repeat that people have said. Mm-hmm. And the quote that I heard all the time, and I don't know if you folks watched the coverage, you know, from Landmine and other organizations or even in print, was, you know, there are two types of Republicans. There are patriots and traitors, and Bart LeBond is not a patriot. So that was repeated quite often this election.
I guess I'm not a patriot either, but.
But, you know, I mean, we'll see how the results end up shaking out. But, you know, it was always a really tough district to win. And at the end of the day, the primary reason is going to be moderates and left-leaning Democrats opted to start abandoning Representative LeBond and voting for Maxine Dybert. Mm-hmm. And you see that in the numbers. In House District 31, Senator Murkowski and Pat Chesbro totaled 58% of all ballots cast.
Yeah.
Kelly Shibaka is about 38%. I assume her margin will decrease as the rest of the votes are counted. Mary Peltola in District 31, Congresswoman Peltola, she won outright in mm-hmm. House District 31. Senator Kawasaki won massive margins in mm-hmm. the city precincts in House District 31. And the combined vote totals of Les Guerra and Bill Walker far outpaced what the sitting Governor Dunleavy got. And this isn't a new occurrence in the district, right? So Representative LeBond, the last two cycles, had to outpace every other Republican on the ballot in order to win. And, you know, he had to do that consistently by getting folks whose natural preference is a Democratic candidate to vote for him, you know, so.
What got me was Republicans attacked him.
Yeah.
Not his opponents.
Yeah, and.
We had basically they're from the Matsu, they're trying to frame him as anti-gun.
Yeah. No, that was, that's, you know, so he took it.
So Matsu. I will always remember this about you.
Yeah, and I will too, personally, right? You know, he took it from both barrels, right? I mean, look, the amount of spending against Bart, and especially the way he was attacked from the IEs and even from Maxine's campaign, personally, I think was incredibly unfair. And I will say that if you want to attack Representative LeBond on not being pro-education and not being pro-university, right, well, mm-hmm. if you are fortunate enough to win, I'm sure that many of these folks are going to look to you to be able to deliver more than he ever did for the university. And yeah. I don't think that'll be possible, personally. So,
you know, it was interesting. I was with some Democrats on Wednesday night when we were, you know, discussing.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me and they're going, you know, we didn't have to do anything in District 31. You guys did that to yourselves.
Yeah, and that's kind of the secret. And everybody kind of understood that if you've worked elections before or politics. And, yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, I think the writing was on the wall for the last month or so.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew that when you saw the LeBond sign come up from the yard and the Divert sign go down in the yard. And you kind of saw what was going on, which was...
a lot of mudslinging at him.
Yeah, and that was causing, you know, these kind of moderate left-leaning folks to just abandon board and go to...
Or not vote.
Or not vote, which is, that's probably the strangest outcome that I haven't been able to quite figure out in District 31 yet, because, you know, my district is 32 and I have Fort Wainwright, and my voter turnout shouldn't be anywhere near downtown Fairbanks percent. But we're basically, my district is sitting at 27, downtown Fairbanks is 29.
Yeah.
And that's with a 5% turnout on Fort Wainwright, folks. So that, I don't know, I've never seen anything like this. I don't think you have either, David.
No.
I have never seen downtown Fairbanks vote at the same percent as
your side,
as Fort Wainwright's House district. It's not even, I mean, it's almost improbable, you know.
It's a very low voter turnout this time.
Yeah, and it's weird because District 34 has relatively strong turnout, and it's a governor's election year. This state has not had less than 50% turnout in a governor's race.
And what got me was... there were 2% of the people who voted to write in someone against Mike Prox.
My sister has the explanation for that.
Which is?
Well, last year, I can't remember, I'll pull a number, 240 people that wrote in somebody else.
And there's a lot of Santa Clauses out there.
Yes, right.
Yep. And
I would have gone Easter Bunny because I know Santa Claus out there.
And we were wondering about that, and she said, well, let's see, you know... what is it, 238 people? I wonder who the other six were.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to him about your race, Will, and I was wrong in regards to why Van got in the race. I thought that the Democratic Party, you know, called him up and asked him, and they said, no, he just decided to get in the race, and they're saying, Van, don't do this. Totally opposite. So, you know, it's interesting, the conversations we had. And free-flowing, you know, respectful, friends of mine. We wear different political hats. And at the conclusion of a race, we're all talking again, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. But
but
you ran an exceptional race.
Yeah, and I appreciate my opponents. You know, I had a Republican opponent. I had Van Lawrence. I actually know Van Lawrence from charity stuff.
Yeah.
We play cards together for these – we do the charity poker tournament for the symphony, right? Mm-hmm. And
Very fine person.
Yeah.
Very fine person.
And I appreciate folks because, you know, Van's an old school guy. He's been around a long time. He served on the assembly. But he is, you know, very passionate about his vision for the future of Fairbanks, and he'll articulate that, and I think he articulates his vision well. His vision is different from my vision, but it's always fun to be able to like sit on a stage and kind of look at the different viewpoints and be able to have that contrast without going kind of crazy negative like you see in politics nowadays, you know.
Yeah. Then there's District 33, there's Mr. Prox, who's never had an opponent. Wow. Since the governor appointed you, man, you've been the big man in the room. Congratulations again, sir.
Well, thank you.
You have a very good, genteel personality. You're a calming effect. You get along with everyone. If you have differences or disagreements, you're very polite about the discussion that you have, and you're not argumentative with them. And I think that serves well for anyone who's an elected official.
You have to do that.
Yeah,
you have to listen to other people.
Yeah,
and see what they're having. You know where the differences are. Somewhere on my Facebook page says, if you agree with me, tell somebody else. If you disagree with me, call.
Yeah,
and that's what I gotta do.
Yeah, District 34, Frank Tomaszewski.
Yep.
You don't have to go back to the third choice on that one.
Yeah, so we might actually end up going to ranked choice scenario on Frank's. That's actually my anticipation looking at the standard. So Frank is still going to win, in my opinion. No offense to Representative Hopkins. I think for somebody who had a tough race, I think Representative Hopkins fought is absolutely hard.
He did. He wasn't giving it up.
Oh, no.
Man, that's a political family. Tooth, fang, and claw, he was in.
We have different politics, obviously, but I tell you, you what, that guy Greer Hopkins, man, I cannot imagine. I've never seen anyone with long odds fight so hard.
We were laughing, you know, me and my Democratic compatriots were laughing, you know, how Greer rebranded himself for his district. You know, it was funny, and they were laughing too. Go, God, man, did he do a great job rebranding?
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy did everything humanly possible to try to win that district.
Salcha,
with Two Rivers.
My goodness!
But but Frank ran a good campaign, kept his head down, and he is my expectation to win. I tend to think that after we do this count, his margin of victory will slip down to around 49.5% or so, and then we'll just go to an instant ranked choice, which he'll win basically instantaneously.
55-45, right?
Yeah,
there.
Correct, right. But so he will, in my opinion, have to go to, we'll have to see the second choices of Nate DeMars' ballots. So,
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial. If you have a thought for our incredible election overview and analysis, give us a call, 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah. More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Urology is announcing Men's Health Day, Saturday, November 12th from 9 to 5, offering free men's health checkup and blood test. Come learn about your health, enjoy refreshments and snacks, and win a door prize. Call 328-0989 to make an appointment. New patients get a free blood test, including PSA for prostate cancer screening and testosterone test, plus a prostate and ED checkup. Men over 50, you need a yearly PSA blood test, and Fairbanks Urology is offering it free of charge for all new patients at their Men's Health Day.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies, and go to the archives page of kfarradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 22. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows around 16. Overcast skies again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 28. Mainly cloudy skies Sunday with highs in the mid-20s. Chance for snow Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prison Studio here. And tomorrow night, 5:30, my Fairbanks Foodie Show is on. And again, this month I'm taking you to France. We're going to have some recipes on French mushroom, cream of mushroom soup. We're going to have French dip, and that's actually an American-born bread and raised sandwich. Then we're going to do a French turkey, because we're going to have it basted in champagne, and so it's going to add that moisture to it. Then I'm going to give you how to make a fruit smoothie with strawberry and banana. Then we're going to do a couple restaurant reviews for your football games on Sunday. So, hey, it's going to be a great show tomorrow night from 5:30 to 6. And remember, we're coming up on Thanksgiving fast, so I'm going to give you some Thanksgiving recipes and where to go get your Thanksgiving sides that you don't want to cook yourself, because I'm that way. I don't want to have to cook everything, so you're going to get lots of stuff. We're going to take a phone call. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Eve. I'm here in Fairbanks. And to all of you who have been elected, I would like to ask, aren't you furious? Don't you think it is ridiculous the way the voting system is evolving in Fairbanks as well as in the nation, to not know in 2 weeks' time what the end results are? And to go like meek sheep to the darn computers, which we now know can be manipulated in whichever way. I'll listen to your answer on the radio. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the phone call, Eve. Great lady there. Mike, we're going to give that one to you first. You're the senior elected official here.
Well, I'm to the voting machines and to the whole process. I spent a lot of time looking into that 2 years ago. And the state of Alaska has auditing and checks along the way to confirm that the machines are tallying the ballots accurately. And that is not a problem in Alaska. And that's too bad. That is a national thing that is
Available for manipulation. Mr. Stapp, what do you think?
Yeah, so I'll speak to the ranked choice voting aspect and then the counting aspect. So we certainly need to be able to do better on counting. I am not sure why the state cannot count all the early votes and all the absentees it has received on election day. So like in my district, half the early vote and half the received absentees were counted on election night, but not the other half. So I don't understand why that they can count half of the votes that they've had for days, but not the other half. So we can definitely see why we can what to do about that.
I would think that the new lieutenant governor will be taking that into consideration.
Yeah, and the
answer to that is
there you go, Mike.
They stop counting 7 days prior to. They just leave them in a pile.
We're going to take another phone call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, it's Veterans Day today.
Yes, it is. Congratulations. I have a vet in the studio here. Congratulations, Will Stapp. And yesterday was the 119th birthday of Fairbanks.
Nice. And I'm a veteran, so I thought I'd get a day off and take care of some errands, like get some prescription work done and do some business at Fish and Game and DNR, and I had to go to the bank and then drop off some stuff at Air Cargo, but they're all closed.
Yep. Big shout out to the Chief of Staff, City of Fairbanks, Mike Saunders. He's a 20-year retired vet, Special Forces, and I'm in the office this morning at 7:20, and I'm the only one in that building, and in comes Mike Saunders at 8:25. He took an hour off early because it was Veterans Day, and he went and worked out.
And I'll chime in here a little bit, Al. So there's actually a veterans event that I was at, the celebration at the Westmark, a little bit ago before I came over here to the radio station. So I know everything's closed, but they have cake and coffee over there, so you might as well partake. So.
Well, I just thought I could take...
You're a veteran, and you still contribute to the state of Alaska, buddy. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah, all right. Bye.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, this is Jennifer Sampson calling from Fairbanks.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so glad you three are on the radio together. Congratulations to the three of you. I just want to say thank you for running clean, respectable campaigns. That's what the world needs. We need peacemakers who are willing to talk to everybody. Good job.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
You know, thank you for you and what you do and your husband, his 3 years on the school board. Very, very clarity in your opinions and direction and good directions and opinions too. Thank you for what you do and how you do it. Really appreciate you.
Thanks. And I'm super excited to watch you guys get at it.
Yeah, they're smiling over here. Yeah, their eyes are big. Their eyes are big.
Well, I tell folks, hey, depending on how the rest of these results shake out, you might not want to be too excited.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm one of those. I'm one of those. You know, my thought is, you know, David, Mike, Will, be careful what you ask for. You might get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have any plans this weekend, Jennifer?
There's a bazaar maybe around. I might hit up.
That's right. The big bazaar is at the Carlson Center this weekend. Your pre-Christmas season indoor event. There you go. You have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, there's things other than politics. You know, there's taking care of the roads.
Yeah.
Right right?
Yeah.
Getting the campaign signs up before the news minor letters come in. That's
and if the roads aren't taken care of, we know who the street supervisor is. We know where to go.
I almost wanted to write a letter to the editor from myself, letting all the paper readers know that I was already getting my campaign signs. So they had drafted a letter about campaign signs being up to leave my name off of it,
Also, congratulations, shout out to Ashley Carrick.
Correct.
35 again. Yep. There's going to be no secondary ranked choice voting in that. And a shout out to Kevin McKinley. He's coming in second and he immediately saw that it wasn't going to work and he gave her a call and congratulated her. So, again, that was a nice, genteel race. That really was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell folks, and I've talked to some people, so at the end of the day here in Fairbanks, we are at the end of the road system, at the end of the supply chain, and I tend to think if we can't figure out how to be respectful but argue or passionately against others politically, but at the end of the day, be nice to someone when we see him at Fred Meyer, then I don't think the rest of the country has much hope at all if we can't figure out how to get along.
We're Fairbanks, and we do it very well. And congratulations to Mike Kronk.
Yeah.
Interior 36. Man, he's that gentleman's special.
The only constituency that's not a fan of Mike Kronk are the Wild Bears of the Interior. I hear they have some
and a couple of wolves.
The predators.
Predators do not like Mike Kronk.
Yeah,
ready for a phone call? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah, I was sorry to see that Jim Mavely wasn't able to beat Senator Scott Kawasaki, and I just hope that the next person that goes against Scott Kawasaki in 2 years or whatever the term is, will remember to meet the deadline to put your information in the voter's pamphlet, because both Pete Kelly, the last time, who was incumbent at the time, somehow missed the deadline somehow or other and didn't get his name in. And I'll be darned if Jim Mavely didn't do the same thing. And he, of course, was upset about it. I asked him, I said, how did this happen?
Unique, isn't it?
But that's just crazy, letting that go.
Yeah. Randy, thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. You have a great weekend, buddy.
Yeah, confession on my OEP entry. I put my age down as 34, which is how old I was at the time. But technically, I turned 35 before Election Day. So my apologies on the oversight.
There's truth in election disclosure, sir.
Yeah. So if anybody is upset because my birthday was 3 weeks prior to the election,
yeah, but you got a pretty wife and great looking kids. We'll forgive
that's
you.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you.
So, Mike, any thoughts on how a coalition will be built, or any phone calls, or nothing until ranked choice voting is over and you see how many people you got?
Yeah, I think we need to wait and see how this shakes out. Also, we forgot to congratulate Senator Bishop.
We didn't even get into the senators, yes. And Senator Rob Meyer. Yeah, we're in our last minute. And Senator Kawasaki.
Yep. Congratulations.
Congratulations to all of them. Those three people ran very nice races. They were not antagonistic, but you had some people antagonistic after them that might have been a candidate or an IEP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very sad to see, but they held, all three of them held their heads high. They were very good people on the way they ran, mm-hmm. all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the final minute, we're going to go back to the roads. Jeremiah Cotter.
Yeah. I get to close her off.
How are we doing on our roads, sir?
Oh, we're doing pretty good on them right now. I was just driving around them before I came in here, and the Sanders are doing a fabulous job of giving us some grip.
When I went out to see them as a newly elected, I wasn't even elected yet. I mean, I was elected, but I wasn't seated. I looked at them all and I said, you are that one group of people everyone loves to see.
Mm-hmm.
Roads, trash pickup, potholes, snow plowing. Everyone loves to see you guys, and I thank you guys for doing it. Really do.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
Fairbanks, you have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday.
See you later.